frustration quickly mounts in a mentoring relationship where the mentor isn't performing his or her function very well. And when this occurs, there is a waste of valuable time and an emotional letdown because fruitful expectations were dashed. This list is provided to encourage you to identification and avoidance of bad mentor relationships. First, avoid mentors who are too busy to mentor. They make bad mentors because although they are excited about the mentoring opportunity, they have no time to put toward the relationship. So, in essence, their yes often means no because of time constraints. And this results in broken promises and inaccessibility. Now, these individuals will agree to establish the relationship, but with no practical follow-through. And it's not so much that they don't want to mentor. I think they do. That's why they agreed to do it. They just simply have too many irons in the fire. And where there are too many irons in the fire, some of the irons get burned for lack of care. Often it's just plain forgetfulness, and the initial enthusiasm of the mentoree is soon replaced with frustration and inability to receive the help and information needed during crucial moments. I am not implying that a busy person makes a bad mentor, but I am saying that a person who is too busy is a bad mentor. There is a distinction. My mentors have been very busy. In fact, one of them worked in the office from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and was back in the office from 9:30 p.m. to midnight or 1 o'clock. Many individuals could not accommodate that kind of hectic workload, but we had no trouble finding time for the relationship. His commitment to me made room for accessibility. His busyness was not a problem. It actually helped us get to the meat of issues quickly and efficiently. We made our time count together. Being busy doesn't have to kill a mentoring relationship. However, being too busy will. Whether one is too busy or not largely depends on the individual. If he or she is forgetful, never returns phone calls, misses scheduled meetings, and is not accessible in your hour of need, then that person, in my opinion, is too busy for the mentoring relationship. They are unable to handle the number of irons in their fire, and you're the one who gets burnt. When trying to find a person to fill an important position on my doctoral committee, I considered a very competent and qualified individual who happened to be the president of my denomination. And although he was willing, his extremely busy schedule produced caution flags for me. I was working with deadlines and time frames, and I really couldn't depend on this person. And although he showed initial excitement, I knew that he could be on a plane to Irianjaya at just the time I needed him. By selecting another individual, I avoided a potentially frustrating situation with a man who was too busy to meet my expectations. Look for mentors who have time for you. You alone will have to ascertain whether or not one is too busy to meet your expectations. But if you're in a situation with a mentor who is too busy, discuss this with him if he's not too busy for that. And if nothing is solved, then graciously back away from the relationship and find another mentor. Don't feel bad about that. Do it. You need to do that because your time is valuable and you want to grow and you want to learn. And sometimes the facts of life mean that someone is too busy. And so you will have to graciously back out and find another mentor. Secondly, avoid mentors who want to use you instead of help you. These individuals are all too excited for the relationship. In an effort to enhance their own agenda, often the mentoree becomes the sounding board, becomes the source of ideas, and becomes the convenient companion when the mentor desires company. So instead of having your best interests at heart, this type of mentor is delighted to pass your way responsibilities, assignments, and loads of extra work that he or she doesn't want to do. Sometimes you are viewed as an assistant, fulfilling duties to serve the agenda of the mentor. And to prove that your interests are not in the forefront, but actually on the back burner, you are often abandoned with little or no guidance once that extra work is dumped in your lap. I felt used while taking flying lessons in high school. After finishing ground school, I began my lessons in a Cherokee Warrior, and this was a nice plane. Instead of beginning in the usual Cessna two-seater high wing, I chose this particular airport and this particular instructor because for the same price, I could fly a 4-passenger low-wing aircraft. Now, while the plane was a peach, the instructor was a lemon. My cross-country flights took me to destinations of his business. I had no choice in where I would fly cross-country. But, you know, that really didn't bother me that much. After all, I think that an instructor should have a say in where we fly. What really bothered me was the feeling of being used on such trips. We flew to airports where he had to drop off a part or discuss a deal with someone. And instead of training me in the cockpit, he was filling out forms and was engrossed in the business aspect of the trip when we touched down. When I asked him questions, I felt as if I were interrupting. He took advantage of my age and inexperience to promote his own interest. And so in actuality, instead of helping me, he was using me. If you find yourself in this type of relationship, discuss the matter openly with your mentor. And if nothing changes, then graciously back out and find another who sincerely wants to invest in you instead of using you to promote personal agendas. These people make terrible mentors because they bypass a central ingredient to successful mentoring, that is, empowering others for growth and development. Third, avoid mentors who criticize. Criticizers are destructive, not only in the mentoring relationship, but in any relationship. Criticism is the caustic acid that will slowly but surely destroy the pillars of strength in relationships. It is a deadly poison. Criticizing mentors always want to point out why you are doing something wrong. They feel that their position gives them a right to point out your mistakes, all of them. It is not unusual for mentors to feel that they can never measure up to their expectations. These mentors criticize you for not handling a situation like they would. For some reason, they can't understand that you aren't where they are. Yet, that's why you're in the mentoring situation. To move you to that point, it is ridiculous of them to expect that of you, that you would be where they are. When criticism is the thrust of the relationship, mentorees are rarely praised, and they begin to worry more about pleasing the mentor than personal growth and development. I've heard it said that it takes 10 positive comments to offset each negative one. The mentor who uses criticism as a tool of inspiration produces just the opposite of what it is intended to accomplish. Criticism is extremely damaging. A family bicycling together always had a wonderful time until they came to a steep hill. Dad rode his bike to the top and yelled for the others to follow. Mom stayed down with the boy, who was quite scared. And this ticked Dad off. After all, he thought, my boy isn't going to be a sissy. He's going to be a man. And in anger, he yelled at his boy, criticizing him for being a wimp, for being a sissy, and for lacking the guts to ride the steep hill. And he was doing what he thought was right. Finally, after attending a conference, he learned that his criticism was having the exact opposite effect upon his boy. He wasn't even aware of the destruction his words were causing. And when he stopped criticizing and instead began explaining and encouraging, his son made it to the top. Now, I know you think that story is about me, but it isn't. I read that someplace, and it has stuck in my mind because it graphically illustrates this point. To rationalize their destructive behavior, many have told me that it is good to receive constructive criticism. Then they usually quote a few verses which talk about iron sharpening iron and the willing reception of godly counsel. As noted earlier, a critical comment becomes constructive and is best received in an atmosphere of love and concern with the best interest of the other person in mind. I personally disdain the phrase constructive criticism. It is not found in the Bible, and it is often used today in unbiblical ways, even though it is masked with biblical language. Now, by that, I mean constructive criticism is used more than ever now as a nitpicky way of telling others what one doesn't like about them. During a candidating experience, I asked the church leadership how they encourage their pastor. An elder with years of experience as a leader piped up in all seriousness and replied, well, we like to tell him what he's doing wrong. You see, the watchdogs of criticism were barking loud at this church, and its history revealed that they had been barking for many, many years. when criticism becomes nothing more than me telling you how you don't measure up to my personal preference, my personal understanding, or my personal agenda for you, then it is anything but constructive. Personally, I believe the Bible teaches that the way to accomplish the best in others is through generous, heaping portions of encouragement. If you're in a situation where your mentor is constantly criticizing, feeling you can't measure up to the expectations, and are more worried about the mentor's response than about learning and growing, then graciously back out of the relationship and search for a new mentor, one that is full of encouragement. Now, if you have to graciously back out of the relationship, you will probably be criticized for it and slammed and downed. But just remember that criticism is the hallmark of bad mentors. And that which criticism touches, it spoils. Fourth, avoid mentors who are not with the times. It is possible to find the perfect mentor who has the time, who has the interest, and who has the qualifications, but who is out of touch with the issues, the state of things, and who appears frozen in time with a philosophy and a way of operating that is not connected to the real world of today. Now, please don't misunderstand this point. I am not saying that because someone is old, they are automatically out of touch with the real issues of today. Actually, this point has nothing to do with one's age. It has to do with keeping abreast of the issues and the problems and the methodologies in one's field. I personally know of many older individuals who are very current in their field. Combine their experience with their current knowledge, and they make excellent mentors. In today's fast-paced information world, you want a mentor who keeps pace with the times. This is the end of number 6.